This is The National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Martin. Many businesses are reopening now, and while the spread of COVID-19 has slowed in many places, it has not stopped. So many of you have asked us questions about who is responsible for worker and customer safety as America reopens. To help answer your questions, we have NPR's business correspondent, Alina Selyukh. Alina, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I'd like to start with a question about what rights employers have to set policies about wearing masks.
My name is David. I live in Ithaca, New York. And I was going to a big box store to buy something from the garden department. There's a sign out front of the store that says, if you come in the store, you have to wear a mask. People came in the store not wearing a mask. And I'm wondering if retail can refuse service to a person who is not wearing a mask.
Alina, what about that?
Yeah, so companies can certainly decide the rules of entry to their turf. Remember the classic no shoes, no shirt, no service? Well, now we're in the era of maybe please wear a mask or please don't come in a big group, but maybe even leave your children at home. There are some laws about accommodating people with disabilities and medical conditions, like having a ramp, for example. And we have seen some people saying they can't wear a mask for medical reasons, like asthma. It gets a little complicated there because what's the accommodation there that's not putting that person or others at higher risk? And there is a bit concern that some people are saying that they have these medical conditions simply because they don't feel like wearing a mask, which of course makes it harder than for people with legitimate health concerns. And that might actually play out in court. We'll see.
Well, we did see, though, as of today, the governor of New York issued an executive order saying that businesses making that explicit.
So. Right. And in some, exactly. And in some areas, these decisions about requiring mask wearing indoors are actually not up to the retailers or the stores at all, but to governors and mayors that declare these requirements.
Brian in Bend, Oregon has a question about feeling unsafe at work. Here it is.
I work in a restaurant that has reopened and we have an open kitchen. And because of how the ventilation is inside, I don't really feel safe going back. If I want to keep my job, I'll be forced to breathe in everything that is in the air inside of the restaurant. If I object to going back, they've said that they will consider me as having quit and I'll lose my job as well as my unemployment benefits. What can we do if we disagree with our employer's ability or willingness to keep us safe?
I think we've heard other questions like this, Alina. So what do you think?
Oh, yes. This comes up so often, and it's very frustrating. But to stay working for a company in that situation, it's not enough to simply feel unsafe, unless, of course, we're talking about a particularly dangerous environment that's not in line with the CDC or OSHA guidelines, which is, of course, a whole other situation. There are some carve-outs for people who have underlying health conditions or people who have children without access to childcare. The new laws have carve-outs to receive unemployment in those situations. In general, the best advice is always, you know, talk to your employer. Maybe they'd be open to some accommodations, maybe give you a bit more time before coming to work or keep you working outside, that sort of thing.
Now I'd like to bring in a business owner trying to navigate reopening right now. Will Severich owns Betsy and Aya. That's a jewelry design and retail company in Portland, Oregon. Will, welcome. You there? Okay.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Hi, how are you? Did I pronounce the company
Hello,
name
I'm
right?
Here.
Okay. Okay. So, welcome. Glad
I
to hear from
hear
you.
I cannot hear
the show. Huh? Will cannot hear the show. Will cannot hear the show. Okay. What should we do about that? Okay. Well, let's go to the next guest. And we have other questions. Let me see. Kathleen, we have another Kathleen question. Okay. Okay. Kathleen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. Well, Kathleen, it's good to hear from you as well. No disrespect
Thanks.
To Will. We'll see if we can make that work, and we'll try to bring him back later on because we definitely want to hear about the jewelry business. I know I'm very interested. Kathleen, I understand that you're a cashier at a small food co-op, right, in Eau Claire?
Yes, that's right, in Wisconsin.
Okay, well, first of all, I just want to say thank you for staying on the job, and I'm sure I'm not the only person who's told you how much they appreciate you, but if that isn't the case, let me be the first or the second or the tenth to tell you how much we appreciate you. But tell us a little bit more about how the job has changed because of the pandemic.
Sure. Well, as a typical store, we're used to having just in-store traffic, and we've had to totally change. We still offer in-store shopping for up to 5 customers at a time, but we've also had to learn how to do online orders. We didn't offer that service before. So there was quite a learning curve in us figuring out how to do that all of a sudden. And we had a little interstitial period there where we were taking phone orders, and we had walk-in traffic, and we were figuring out online orders as well. So it was pretty chaotic back in March, April. But by this point, we're figuring it out. We have a better handle on things. So it's not as crazy as it was, which I'm grateful for.
And those new safety protocols too, right? You had to kind of master those, I would bet, right?
Yes. So I mentioned the 5 customers in the store at one time. We also encourage everyone, all employees, to wear masks. And we have plexiglass shields up in front of the cash registers to minimize contact between customers and the employees.
I hear you have a question for Alina, so go ahead.
Yeah, so I am wondering, the federal government is providing extra unemployment benefits for people who have been out of work because of the pandemic. I'm wondering if there are any plans from the federal government to offer hazard pay or other kinds of benefits for those of us who still have to go to work, especially for those of us whose employer provided hazard pay is coming to an end.
Okay, Alina.
Yeah, so the latest relief package in the House of Representatives did include about $200 billion in pandemic hazard pay for essential workers like you. It's a very broad category. It includes a lot of medical workers and wastewater workers, anyone who's been out there working. My colleagues who cover Congress tell me that the fate of this legislation is a little bit up in the air. They are expecting another aid package to be considered by Congress, but the House bill was passed largely along party lines, mostly by the Democrats, and the Republicans in the Senate have not weighed in on any specific proposals as of yet.
All right. Well, Catherine, you know what? Thank you so much for doing what you do, and I hope things will continue to go well for you. And it was good of you to call, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and thanks to all the customers who are courteous and following the safety measures.
All right, we need to take a short break, but when we come back, we hope that we'll get our guest back on the line and take more questions with Alina Siljak. This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News. We're talking about work in the time of the coronavirus. Please stay with us.